between the possibility that both gravity and sigma models are asymptotically safe in a really close way. This is a rather new subject of study. There are only two articles about the possibility that the nonlinear sigma model would be asymptotically safe, and those are the two I'm showing you. I will show you step by step that the two models are closely related, starting from the geometrical point of view and then looking at the beta function, so the renormalization group behaves in a really similar way. So let me start from what we generally think about the actions associated to these two models. On the first line, you have the nonlinear sigma model written in two ways. The first way is actually referring directly to a field that lives in a representation, say U, while the second way is more geometrical, and that is the way we will generally use for calculation. The field renormalization is containing the coupling, it's on the second line. So Z is 1 over G squared. By I didn't say it, the nonlinear sigma model that we are considering is in D equals to 4. Now, even the phi field, that's the nonlinear sigma model coupling in the geometrical approach, say, it's dimensionless for a simple reason. You have a metric, H alpha beta phi, and it can be a function of a dimensionful field. The coupling must be dimensionful. In particular, Z is of dimension mass square, and G is of dimension mass to the minus 1. Let's compare it with the analog, say, for gravity. You have, I called in the same way, Z in front of the Heisenhilbert action. You have that the Riemann tensor is containing derivatives of the metric that now is our dynamical field. Additionally, this is the difference between the two models. We have root G and an inverse metric saturating the indices. This makes the things a little bit different because, as we can see, in nonlinear sigma model, you don't have a way to reparameterize the coupling in such a way, to reparameterize the field in such a way the coupling totally disappears from the action. For example, here I'm showing a reparameterization of a field that removes the field renormalization in front. But if you do that, the field renormalization appears as actually a coupling inside the H alpha beta, that's the metric of our sigma model, and in principle you could think about an expansion around 1 over root z, that is g, small g of the previous slide. In gravity, you can do exactly the same, reparameterizing this time with 1 over z, the metric, this is shown in the third line. If you do that, g totally disappears from the Einstein action, the Einstein-Hilbert action, without acknowledging the constant action. If you do that, it disappears, but as I mentioned, G is still essential because if you do that, the beta functions of the model will turn out to be scale dependent. So we prefer generally to parameterize things in such a way that beta functions are not scale dependent.
I think it's a misleading argument because G mu should be expanded near delta mu. And then G mu is actually can be parameterized as exponent H mu, just as you parameterize group element as exponent of phi. It's complete analogy. There is no difference at all.
And you are right. But if you expand it,
so you are changing changing asymptotics of G mu, just like changing asymptotics of group element. The only difference is that for group element you believe if phi is zero, then you approach one. So here you give up same condition.
Anyway, the lesson is that G is still essential. It's an important coupling. It's an essential coupling. It's not a coupling that we can parameterize away from the flow. Don't you agree? Yeah.
G mu is a field. What is the coupling here needs to be discussed. In fact, if you really want to define this theory near flat space, you need to include boundary term. This matrix will depend on boundary.
For the purpose of our calculation, we are excluding boundary terms because we are calculating beta functions. If we wanted to include the boundary terms, we should use. I won't speak that much about gravity because we had a lot of introduction of synthetic safety to gravity and functional randomization to gravity. But you can include boundary terms, and you should use more non-trivial backgrounds, different from spheres, and see the flow of also those boundary terms. For our purposes, I'm thinking about the two models in the simplest way possible. Okay. Can I go on? Now, from the point of we can think about both the two models as low energy effective field theory. Here I'm calling chiral perturbation theory with schematic SOU, in which I'm expanding in orders of derivatives. This is actually schematic because you have more terms. For example, for the first term, that one with coupling G2 is just one. But if you go on and on, there are more terms. And in fact, I'm not showing how I'm taking traces of those U to the minus one partial U. Similarly, for gravity, you can do the same. You can expand, and you saw it in many talks. You can expand in orders of derivatives, and also in this case, it's a schematic expansion. For example, at order r squared, there's not just one term, but there are three or four of them, dependently on boundary. Now, we calculated, Roberto Percacci and Alessandro Codello calculated the beta functions for what I called in the previous slide G2, that is 1 over 2 G squared of, it's essentially Z of the first slide. They calculated it at one loop, but also at the non-perturbative collections using each kernel together with exact randomization group. What you can see is that in the first two lines you have in the first line you have the flow of the dimensionful G2. If you define G tilde, the dimensionless partner of the coupling G of the nonlinear sigma model with two derivatives, you get that the coupling has a non-trivial fixed point. So it's happening the same that happens in gravity, essentially. Here I'm not specifying what is the value of the constant V1 because it's partly scheme dependent. Now, if we go on, here I'm showing the two pictures of the beta functions. The first one is a picture of the beta function of the nonlinear sigma model. And there is also the correction that you can calculate using non-perturbative effects related to exact normalization group. On the right, you have the flow of the dimensionless Newton constant, and you can see that the two curves are similar in shape. They have a material fixed point, and the effect of non-perturbative effects have a qualitative similar feature. For example, if you calculate the critical exponents at a fixed point, you see that they are becoming larger at the non-perturbative correction. That means that that the correlation length at a fixed point is becoming smaller. So let me go on. We decided to do much more the same that was done for gravity, in the sense that we added four derivative terms. here I'm giving the geometrical form of the action we considered. I'm actually hiding a term that's the best mean of the Witten term, but actually we considered it and we saw the properties of its flow. But given we will stick to the one loop approximation, it wasn't that interesting to show it. Now, you can see that on the first line there are two terms. The first one is the former with two derivatives. Here all the couplings are inside the tensors of the nonlinear sigma model. The second term is a box pi squared term. It also has a tensor with two derivatives that for practical purposes we used as a metric. In the second line you have the other two, four derivatives term. One is with A, and A is a tensor that is totally symmetric. We actually forgot about that term because at the very end, in principle, you can calculate the beta function also for the totally symmetric tensor A. But at the very end, we applied these considerations to totally symmetric space, and I will show you in the next slide that if you can safely choose A equal to zero at a certain scale, and you will be sure that you won't create any A with the flow of the normalization group. The last term is made with a tensor T that has some symmetry, in particular if it is symmetric in two couples of indices, and also if you permute the two couples of the two indices. Now this is apart from a normalization and the integration over d4x. This is what you get if you use exact normalization group at one loop. What is important, this was just in order to scare you a little bit. From here, you can in principle calculate all the beta functions of the four tensors I showed you. I remember that we used as metric H4, that is the coupling of the box of the box phi square term. As I said, you can pull out all the, you can obtain the beta functions of all the tensors. But what you can immediately notice is that the beta function of the box phi of the box phi square operator, so all the metric is still the rich tensor that is a general result of the nonlinear sigma model. You cannot it's something that you expect from the very beginning, and the immediately after term is showing you that if you have the Riemann tensor, the Ricci tensor is covariantly constant, so for a symmetric space, you don't generate terms with free phis, so you don't generate with the flux the tensor A that we discarded at the beginning. Now, going on, we decided to try at first the spherical models, so SM, the M sphere, that's the coset SOM plus 1 divided by SOM. That is the way in which we parameterize. We are at this point taking a fixed metric, and we are letting a constant in front of it to flow, as it is shown in the second slide. We are keeping the same name for the G coupling, so we parameterize H2 as 1 over G squared H, while we are introducing lambda as field 1 over lambda as field normalization of the term box phi squared, so inside H4. We are calling it in the same way it is usually called in as it was previously called in other talks, like the coupling of the binary squared tensor, because as we will see, it shares a lot of similarities. While given we have just on the sphere, we just have a true we just have the metric as invariant Chu tensor. As invariant tensor, we parameterize also T alpha beta gamma delta as using this metric. The couplings you see, L1 and L2, are usually the ones considered in chiral perturbation theory. Going on, we calculated these beta functions for general N at one loop. As you can see, lambda is sharing is sharing similar properties to the coupling of the Weyl tensor, but we will discuss a little bit more later. It's asymptotically free. This is important. The beta functions of what I call F1 and F2, and I'm sorry, I didn't define them. F1 and F2 are the coupling L1 and L2 of T, rescaled by lambda. Those two beta functions have the structure of being proportional to lambda times a polynomial of second order in themselves. And we also have the beta of the pseudo-relative sigma model coupling that's corrected by a contribution that is proportional to lambda, and both the two terms you can see are corrected by a linear polynomial in F1 and F2. Now, we have fixed points. We have fixed points for every n greater than 2, actually. We have fixed points non-trivial for every n greater than 2, and here I'm showing the values for n equal to 3 and n equal to 4. N equal to 3 is particularly interesting because the 3 sphere is also S2, so we will check it in another, we will check these fixed points in another way. There are two fixed points for the subsystem, because as you can see, the F1 and F2 system can be solved separately because there's just lambda in front, so you can solve F1 and F2 separately. You're getting two fixed points, and these fixed points are doubled dependently on G star, the fixed point of the nonlinear sigma model going to zero, or to its value determined by the beta function of its G tilde. The two fixed points are one is totally attractive, as you can see, and the other one is partially has one attractive direction and one marginal direction. So there's you can predict one coupling if you know the trajectory, the critical trajectory. But going on, we decided to.
So the SO string model is basically just the Heisenberg spin model.
Yeah.
Of course, any solid state physicist will say that in four dimensions and higher, mm-hmm. U, the critical exponent of the correlation matrix, is just 1/2, and it's a trivial series. So do you see U approaching 1/2?
I mentioned in the speaking about the two derivatives model. I for this reason, I mentioned that you get improvement in the calculation of the critical exponent if you do the non-perturbative calculation. Mm-hmm. While given we did the just the one loop calculation for technical reasons, because I showed you the one loop effective, the running of the one loop effective action is quite large. Given for technical reasons we remained in one loop approximation, we cannot say anything about the correction of the correlation length or the critical exponent. We just said that the critical exponent to the non-trivial fixed point is always true. So the correlation length is 1/2. It's far too big compared to what we want. Am I right? But we think that if you improve the calculation, you will get better results. This is a plan for the future.
We know the answer in four dimensions. That's why you should, in some way, try to check something about the right answer. We know it's a thick field theory with it's a linear Sigma model, but in the thick field theory limit.
Exactly. That's my point. I mean, so it should, it's a test of the.
Yeah. Okay. You should try to test it, otherwise, I'm in my person.
No, and this for sure,
but here nu is equal to 1/2.
Nu is equal to 1/2.
Yes, here it is equal to 1/2, which agrees with.
Yeah, but of course, in all the critical exponents are mean field exponents. So solid state physics, well, maybe not in your calculation, but solid state physics would say that, of course, there are mean fields.
Even the field theory is useful.
Okay. I'm just being modest.
So I will move to ask you when. Now, the way to parameterize changes a lot compared to the ON model. You have five possible SUN invariant tensors that I write as T1, T2, and so on. But actually, as is shown in the not very last line, they are not all independent for general n of SUN. And also, so this means you will have four couplings for the T part. In total, you will have six couplings. While for n equal to 3, you have an additional relation. That's one I write it in the last line. So I can show you the beta functions of the kernel model, the SU3 model, because I already showed you the ones for SU2, given the equivalence between the 3 sphere and SU2. They are much more the same as the ones for the spherical models, in the sense that you have that lambda is asymptotically free. F1, F2, and this time also F3 are the betas of these couplings are proportional to lambda times a polynomial of second order in the X. And also the beta function of G square is sharing always the same properties. It has a correction proportional to lambda. It's proportional to linear polynomials in the X. This model, n equal to 3, has a two fixed points for the subsystem F1, 2, and 3, like the S3 case. And this means you have, at the very end, you have four fixed points, two Gaussian and two non-trivial, dependently on the value for the two derivative coupling. These are the fixed points. Now, if you want to go on for n greater than 3, you encounter a problem because lambda is still asymptotically free, but as I write the structure of the FI couplings here, I'm writing the beta functions as proportional to lambda times polynomial of second order. That's this time also a function of n. You don't have any more solution. So for n equals to 4, 5, 6, and so on, we checked up to n equal to 100, I think. You don't have any more solutions. So we decided to interpret this fact in a positive way. Sometimes someone says, the fixed point is a feature of the way you calculate. It's something built in the exact normalization group. This shows this is not true. You don't have a...
Who said that?
It happened, well... I prefer not to say names, but it's something that during talks we hear usually. So we don't have the roots for those polynomials. Anyway, I'm showing also the beta function for the beta. Also, we decided to study a little bit the large n limit, not exactly in the sense that of a perturbative theory of one in 1 over n, and we didn't see any fixed point. So we think this is a general feature. One has to keep in mind that the result is one loop, so it can happen that non-perturbative corrections may modify the result. But there is some kind of window in which if you enter, you don't have any more fixed points for FIs, for the F couplings. Now,
what you should check, I don't remember so precisely because it's a calculation which are 35 years old, but some of these models have a first order phase condition.
Okay.
In which case you don't expect, of course, any fixed points.
Okay.
But you have to go back into the charge.
Thank you for the suggestion. Okay, here I'm comparing the results with higher derivative gravity, but we got a lot of thoughts about it, so it will be very fast. This is the way in which the four derivative terms are parameterized. Lambda is by will called in the same way, because as you can see, it's asymptotically free, and it has the same beta functions. These are the beta functions calculated at one loop, so they are the same. They are universal. Here I'm showing also the beta functions for psi and rho couplings. You can calculate the beta function, the fixed points for the higher derivative subsystem. You get the results that also, for example, Professor Niedermayer showed you. Plug in the fixed point for the higher derivative couplings. The running of the lambda coupling, the asymptotically free coupling. Now, I'm showing you the beta functions for the Einstein-Hilbert part of the action. In blue, you have the corrections that are usually forgotten by using the dimensional regularization method, and these corrections we argue that are very important, and in fact they are even in our calculation. The structure is much more the same of the nonlinear sigma model. Now, if you approach the fixed point with the higher derivative coupling, you can calculate the flow easily not numerically, I mean, of the lambda and Newton constant coupling, and you approach a fixed point much more the higher derivative nonlinear sigma model. The on one loop result was already described in other talks. There are quite interesting changes in the structure of the non-trivial fixed point. So we plan to do the same also for the non-linear sigma model. Finally, I have a small to-do list. We want in principle to check higher order derivative expansions like it was done with F of R and other couplings for gravity. We also want to include in the game gauge interactions and Newcomer couplings. This for a good reason. It can be that the nonlinear sigma model is a good candidate for a Higgs-less model in standard model, in the sense that you don't have anymore a massive model called Higgs. You just stay with the three angles, say. But to do that, to do realistic phenomenology, you need to include gauge theories. Gauge interactions. So you have to gauge isometries of the nonlinear sigma model. And so it becomes rather non-trivial even in the two derivatives case, but it's an ongoing work in SIST. That's all.